Welcome to a brand new episode of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Chris Cuomo is not our guest, but you may have seen that he has now indicated that he has a vaccine injury. So a guy who was formerly of CNN, which relentlessly pushed the vaccines as the ultimate end-all be-all to ending the pandemic, now admits he may have a vaccine injury. Now, we've been detailing vaccine injury stories for almost 2 years. And we've got another one today. This guy, Craig Norkus, works for a local Minneapolis-St. Paul television station. And he had to leave his job after getting the jab because he was so sick. He's going to detail his story and talk about how the station responded to him. He relapsed. He's now out of work once again, but expected to go back here in the next few weeks. We will talk to Craig Norkus. In the meantime, please subscribe if you haven't already. Just hit that little button that tells you you can subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode of our very, very interesting guests. We are so proud and pleased to tell you that XXXY Athletics is sponsoring this issue, this edition of the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Have you not heard about XXXY? This is a unique clothing brand with a very unique founder, Jennifer Say, who is a friend of this show. She was formerly the president of Levi's, and that changed when she started speaking out against the vaccine mandates, against keeping kids out of school. She was also a former gymnast who exposed abuse in the sport before anybody else. She suffered for it, but she was right and redeemed in the end. Again, she stood up for open schools during COVID. She suffered for it. Levi's said, "You can leave now." But again, she was right. Now she's founded XXXY Athletics. It is the culmination of everything she's ever done. Standing up for kids, leading Levi's, a world-class clothing brand, and having been unafraid to say true but unpopular things and taking the heat for it. And if you are one of those people like me who cares very deeply about girls and women's sports, check out XXXY Athletics. I'm telling you, the quality and the style of this stuff is great. You'll be choosing a brand that aligns with your values, and we've got a deal for you. Go to xx-xyathletics.com. Got to put that dash in there, xx-xyathletics.com. Use the code Michelle75 for free shipping on orders of $75 or more. You're going to love this brand. Like I said, the quality is sensational, and you're helping to support women's sports as they stand right now. We hope we're trying to save them. Stick around. This episode is going to give you insight into what the suffering is like for a vaccine injured person. Our guest, Craig Norkus, is next.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
Craig Norkus, welcome. I just want to dive straight into your story. We all remember COVID. That's what we're just going to call it, right? COVID, yeah. Late 2019 into 2020. 2020 was really the year.
Right.
When did it first change your life?
November 3rd, 2022, I got my third shot. And I hadn't had really any issues up to that point, so I didn't think much about it. I got a little bit sick 2 days later, and it was mild. It was kind of felt like a cold, kind of felt a little flu-like. I generally have a high tolerance to pain and illness, so I didn't really think too much about it until after about a week, it got a little bit worse. And that's when I made my first trip to the doctor, and they thought I just had some kind of respiratory illness, and they just kind of sent me off on my way and expected it to get better, and it didn't. And by about Thanksgiving of 2022, actually the night before Thanksgiving 2022, I remember specifically all of a sudden, boom, it was just like my world was crashing down. Like it was this incredible agonizing in my face feeling where I just all of a sudden literally felt like I was dying. Now, obviously I'm sitting here before
what,
you.
What
today.
Were the symptoms?
Well, the major symptoms were, it was an oppressive, really difficult to describe exhaustion, where literally it felt like my body was just taken over, where I, like my muscles just all of a sudden had no power. My legs, my arms, even my brain. I just felt like everything all of a sudden was just oppressed. And there was this, it's tough to describe because people think of pain as like this, like it's got to be like a knife or a sharp type of pain when you talk about the word pain. So this was extremely
sort of a searing pain, yeah.
But not in an acute way like that. It was more of like an agony where I just felt so oppressed. And I turned to my partner, Christine, and I said, I think I might need to go to the hospital. Like it was that concerning where I literally felt like I could be dying, but I don't know what, I'm obviously here talking to you today, so I don't know what dying feels like, but through that experience, that sudden overwhelming experience, I do feel like I might know what it close feels like to die. So it was very terrifying. It was very terrifying.
And did you go to the hospital?
A couple trips to urgent care came up with nothing. Like they gave me antibiotics and sent me on my way. And I didn't get better. And a little bit after
And
Christmas,
you weren't diagnosed with COVID, correct?
No COVID. Yeah. The tests were negative on COVID. By a little bit after Christmas, I was done. I had to go to my employer and say, I can't work. My body is completely shutting down. And that's when I made four trips to my primary care doctor, and he was befuddled. We did basically every blood test that he could possibly think of, checking for everything and anything. All those blood tests came up with nothing. And then it was at that point, after four trips to my primary care doctor, that we decided to go to some specialists. And this is where it gets a little crazy, because through the course of this story, one of my points that I want people to learn about is that you have to advocate for yourself in today's healthcare system. You have to push for more answers than what you may get. And so I went to my first neurologist, and the day before that neurologist appointment, that neurologist made my appointment a Zoom. It was supposed to be an in-person appointment. I had been waiting for several weeks to get in. All of a sudden, they make me a Zoom.
Do you know why?
No, I don't. They never said why. And that should have been the worst, the first red flag. But through the course of that appointment on that Zoom, that doctor, who really didn't listen to a word I said, I was trying to say a lot of things, ended up making a diagnosis of migraines and potentially Parkinson's disease through a Zoom. He prescribed me medication.
Through a Zoom call.
Through a Zoom. He actually had, you can't make this up, he had me doing neurological tests in my living room that he was watching through a computer, like walking a line in my living room, touching my nose at different points in the room. I'm like, am I seriously doing this? Like, this is really what is going to diagnose?
I can understand how you would have been like sort of flummoxed and like, what is going on? So he gives you a prescription. Did you take it?
No, thank goodness, because it just seemed like everything was so wrong with that appointment. I was actually, because I was so sick and so looking forward to seeing a specialist, when I got done with that appointment on that Zoom, I felt so disappointed that I actually threw up three times. Like, that's how upset I was. And thankfully, I didn't take the Parkinson's.
So then what?
Thankfully, I didn't take the Parkinson's medication.
What did you do next?
I went to another doctor to get another opinion. And again, advocating for yourself. Like, I just like, this isn't right. That doctor said, thank God you didn't take that medication. That medication is dangerous and you don't have Parkinson's. But he couldn't figure it out either. He just, the advocation process, I just want to talk a little about in a bigger picture, because some people may not understand what that means. And we all want to think that doctors know everything. And an important point to make is, they don't. Now, they do know a lot and they do help a lot of people. Doctors are wonderful people, but they don't know everything. And if you feel like that you have a questionable diagnosis, or maybe your doctor isn't connecting with you the way you want, you have the right to seek additional medical opinions. And I would advise anybody to do so if there's any question whatsoever. Advocation is necessary.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
About yourself, but about your children, about your parents,
yes.
Anyone that you're caring for. I think you've hit on something really important. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because I just had lunch with a doctor I won't name yesterday. And we had this discussion that they do know a lot, but they don't know everything. Right. And that you cannot just accept that the answers that you get from a doctor are in stone, that they are the truth, that they are right, that it is final. That's not how it should work. So fortunately, then that next specialist, though he couldn't find anything, what did you do then?
Then I got referred to a really prestigious neurologist at a prestigious university hospital. I won't name either, but this person came highly recommended. So my hopes were now really high. By now, at this point, I was obliterated, Michelle. Like, I cannot explain the agony of every day. The exhaustion level was so great that I literally could not even get my own glass of water. Like, it was that bad. And when I say exhaustion, people are like, oh, well, you must have at least slept a lot. That's part of the agony of this experience that I went through. It was so awful that I often couldn't even sleep. Even though my body was shutting down, exhausted, my brain couldn't sleep just because everything was so, the feeling was just so awful. I didn't actually start getting rest until I found the right doctor that diagnosed me. That was 7 months down the line, six doctors down the line. So at this point, I was desperate for someone to help. So this prestigious neurologist, I have literally every scan possible. I had brain MRIs, lumbar spine MRIs, cervical spine MRI, a whole neurological makeup so we could test for all the really bad stuff, you know, and this was scary, you know, like brain tumors, ALS, cancer, multiple sclerosis, any of the bad stuff that it could possibly be. Thankfully, this doctor did through those scans rule out all that bad stuff. However, this prestigious, high-ranking neurologist, because he could see nothing wrong, he tells me, I see nothing wrong with you. Your next move is to see a psychotherapist. That was devastating. That was devastating because I knew how much pain and agony I was physically in. And now I'm being told it's in my head. That magnified how awful I was feeling even worse. And I will make a plea to any doctor out there. Please, if you do not know what is wrong with a patient, don't so callously just tell them to say it's in their head and go see a psychotherapist or go get mental care. Because that can be literally breaking to someone. My spirit was broken.
So what did you do next?
So let's fast forward to finally, I got referred to a seventh doctor, and this was in April of 2023. His name is Jeffrey Kotelski, and he works at the Between the Bridges Healing Clinic, and he is the angel in all this. He is the guy that was able to figure out what was going on, to diagnose me with a vaccine adverse reaction. He was able to treat me, and not only was he the most brilliant doctor that I've ever met, he was also the most compassionate doctor that I've ever met. And those two are really important because you can have a brilliant doctor, but if they're not compassionate, you're not going to genuinely get the care that you truly need. And I always felt like no matter what was happening, like he was in my corner and he had my back. And it just, the experience with him is amazing.
It's so nice that the warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you got to fuel up for them with Factors. No prep, no mess meals. I am telling you, these are the best. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factors' fresh, never-frozen meals are delivered, and they are approved by dietitians, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy a nutritious, great-tasting meal. I'm telling you, these things are so good. This is the best meal delivery service I've ever tried, and I've tried a ton of them. So you can kickstart a new healthy routine today. Don't wait. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. I am constantly amazed by how delicious these meals are. And by the way, 2 minutes in the microwave. No, you don't need to buy a little special oven for this. 2 minutes in your microwave and the meal is ready. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients you can trust. Make your day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, these are nutritious options. They are restaurant quality meals. They feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon, and you keep your kitchen time to a minimum. I'm telling you, it's 2 minutes in the microwave. You don't have to shop. You don't have to prep. There's no cleanup. Head to factormeals.com/Tafoya50, T-A-F-O-Y-A 50. Use code Tafoya50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off next month. That's code Tafoya50 at factormeals.com/Tafoya50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. I couldn't recommend this more highly. So were you able to then file, you know, there's this VAERS filing that you can do, vaccine adverse reactions, that you let the government know that this is what happened. How did you guys proceed in that lane?
Well, the VAERS that I never actually filed myself, but my doctor told me he had a way that doctors report to a central agency in the government where doctors are being tabulated, what they're seeing and how they're treating things. And this will lead to something that I'll talk about in a little bit that's a little bit disturbing. But I got back to work in June of 2023. I was probably about 85 to 90%, which at that time felt like 1,000%, because when you're literally existing at 0%, which is basically what I was existing at, when you get to 80-85%, it's all of a sudden your perspective changes. It's like, wow, I felt like Superman.
How much can you tell us about how he treated you? What he was able to do to bring you back?
So this is an important point to make. So all of the procedures that he did were not standard medical practices. They were things that he kind of figured out that might work for what was very new at the time. These vaccines were new technology, so the illnesses as a result of them required kind of a new mind process to how are we going to attack these things. And one of the major things that worked was actually ozone blood transfusions. And it's literally almost like a dialysis where they take my blood out, they infuse it with ozone and ultraviolet light and put it back in. And I did some other supplemental treatments, but that was the main part of the treatment. And that was able to get me well enough to go back to work in June. However, my doctor told me, because this is new science and we don't know what might happen down the road, he said, Craig, this could come back. Similar to the way you can get some illnesses into remission, but they can come back. And sure enough, November 2023, this past November, it started to creep back in. And I was like, oh, no, please not again. And by the end of December, I had to tap out again. So I've been in treatment and out of work.
So you and your... Oh, I'm so sorry. How has your... I know your employer did a story on you and aired it. And They cited a lot of, and this is very public, Care 11 television here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It's an NBC station. Yep. They cited a lot of studies that show that there were no adverse side effects from the vaccines, the COVID vaccines, specifically the COVID vaccines. Yeah. But you and your doctor are convinced that this was a result of your third shot, or maybe the cumulative result of the first, second, and third shots?
Oh, yes. Over to 98% accuracy. I mean, he can prove it. And that's where, so the story you're citing, I pushed for so long. And I'm thankful that finally, almost a year later, care management decided to go forward with it. I think there's a lot left to be told, and I'm going to be pushing for a lot of follow-up stories, including we need to hear from a lot more victims, of which I know many.
Yeah.
And many have incredible stories that are even more horrific than mine. I think what made that significant, that care management decided to run with that, is that it's been obviously a controversial topic. And a lot of people have been down on mainstream media because they say they don't tell the truth. And first of all, I want to say the people that I work with and the journalists that I work with at CARE are amazing people, some of the most talented, dedicated people on the planet. And since 2001, I have been a part of 8 national station of the years at CARE. And that's for a reason. It's because we have people that want to get to the truth and tell the truth. And unfortunately, there's a lot of journalism across the country that leaves people to question things, and for good reason. But, you know, there's also a lot of really good journalists out there too, and that their mission is to find the truth. And I do believe, even though this first story that we aired at CARE doesn't tell the full picture yet, we will get there through the course of more stories. So it is a major start. And this story is now at 311,000 views on X. And that was an original posting by someone called at Texas Lindsay. I don't even know who you are, but I want to thank you for posting that.
I think I do know who Texas Lindsay is, but there are a number we have had on this podcast, a number of vaccine injured tell their stories, or people who worked in the vaccine trials tell their stories about how questionable this vaccine was, how rushed it was, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
So I'm proud to have told those stories, but we're not a mainstream news station. Yeah. We're a podcast.
Right.
So, and you know, I think what happens with the mainstream news stations, as good as they are, as well-intended as they all are, there has been fear. There's been fear among doctors. I would guess that a number of your doctors were not going to go anywhere near diagnosing you with a COVID vaccine injury, because that would have been controversial and questionable and maybe against the narrative that they are supposed to be telling everyone. So it would not surprise me if, you know, you gave truth serum to these doctors, that they would have to say, there was no way I was going to say this was a COVID vaccine injury. But you found a doctor who was willing to do that. In all of this, I can't imagine what's been more difficult for you, the actual physical pain or that sense of denial that people were in, that you were actually injured by a vaccine. What was the most disheartening part about it?
The most disheartening part is how many people are out there suffering still that aren't getting help. Like, it was a horrific experience, and I am just now getting out of it the second time, thankfully. I've been sick 14 of 19 months. But now that I'm on the backside of 4 months of treatment again with some new technology that's incredible, actually, that Dr. Kotulski has come up with, I am literally probably less than a month of returning back to work again. And we hope for this time it will be for good. But yes, the biggest problem I've had with this whole process is to find out through going through this process, how many people are suffering and how many people aren't being recognized. And it starts with people telling their stories. And for some reason, you know, this has been so controversial. There's been a lot of suppression of the truth. And all I want, I'm not out there to force people to think any one way about taking vaccines or not. That's not what I'm about. It's up to an individual. If you want to take vaccines and you think that's good for your health and your family, I support whatever you want to do. I'm not here to tear down vaccines. What I'm here to say is, because of this pandemic and because of an emergency response to utilize these vaccines that did not get enough clinical trial time, the result is that a lot of people are suffering. And we need to recognize that. And I have two pleas, basically. The first plea is to get more recognition out there in the medical profession, more doctors to seek ways to help so we can get more people that are on board with helping what is now a growing list of people that are trying to get care. My doctor now is turning people away because he is full. He is literally working 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, 16 hours a day, treating patients as a result of this pandemic. Some are long COVID, many are vaccine related. And so, but he's only one of a couple that I know of in the state that are doing this. And one of the great things pertaining to this, when I was in treatment last week, literally getting treatment, two high profile doctors showed up at his office that day and said, can you please train us to not only diagnosis, but can you train us to treat it? So there you go. That's what we need. These people
that's what we need. And I wish more doctors did that across every discipline, because we need that. Okay. I want to hear your second plea in just a second.
Okay.
All right, so what do you think of when you think of grilling food? I first of all think of how good it's going to taste because it's fresh, hot off the grill. But then I think about, is it worth the hassle and the time? You don't have to worry about that anymore. Listen to me about Solaire grills. This is something you can try before you buy, and it will be the last grill that you ever buy, because you don't want to spend an hour in the kitchen making dinner. So this is actually quick and easy barbecue. And I'm not talking about takeout or having it delivered. I'm talking about your own Solaire infrared gas grill. This is the hot, fast grill that heats up to 1,000 degrees in just 3 minutes. So even if you're sitting in a cold climate, 1,000 degrees in 3 minutes, even in the dead of winter, and that kind of heat, it locks in the juices and flavor and it grills your food faster. Can I just tell you how much my family and I have enjoyed this thing? It delivers just beautifully grilled taste, and it does it really fast. Yeah, a good thing about this, it's a veteran-owned, multi-generational family business, and each Solaire grill is made in the USA out of quality commercial-grade stainless steel. It will be the last grill you'll ever need to buy. So go to besthotgrill.com, and you get a free guide how to choose the right infrared grill. I mean, if you have an apartment balcony, if you have a huge backyard, either way, besthotgrill.com. With a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill, you're going to want to use this thing every day. We certainly do. Get your free guide at besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. Okay, Craig, what is your second plea to the listeners?
So it's recognition now at a lawmaker and government level. So let's just take my treatments, okay? Because the FDA did not recognize treatments that are actually working for me, none of my treatments, none of what has helped me has been covered. And I quickly have assembled 5 digits in medical debt. I know people that have more than that. So we need not only the FDA to recognize the doctors' techniques that are treating the vaccine injuries and get them recognized so insurance covers them, but we also need some legislation to be made that helps people to help what pay for what insurance is not paying for. Here's the crazy thing, Michelle. All the tests and all the six doctors that didn't help me, that didn't diagnose me, were covered in some way by insurance. The one doctor that has finally diagnosed me and the one doctor that finally has helped me get out of this nightmare, none of that was covered. What's wrong with that?
Yeah. That is one of those what's wrong with this picture moments. Craig, I know one of the things that is really irksome for you is trying to share this story. And, you know, YouTube has, and we, they may even take this episode down once we post it. Mm-hmm. They've done that to us before. They don't like anything critical of the COVID vaccine, of any of the processes. And you're learning this firsthand. Tell us how.
We've experienced censorship on this story that we've done on both YouTube and Facebook. And it's literally comments like, I'll read you a comment that someone tried to post. Thank you for highlighting this story. It is my belief that people will know how damaging these shots are very soon. Way too big of a story to cover that up forever. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the truth. That's a positive comment. We found out YouTube was eliminating comments, positive comments, that it's not like they were spewing pro-communist rhetoric or anything. And then also Facebook wasn't allowing people to post our story that had comments attached to it. If it was just the story itself, Facebook was allowing it. But any story that had comments, they were being deleted. So here are two major entities, Facebook and YouTube, that are essentially trying to control information. And that's the public's most powerful, one of the most powerful things that the public can have is accurate information. And yet we have two large entities that are censoring it. And I question that.
Again, this is, you should question it and everyone should question it. And free speech, if we don't protect that, we're screwed. We are absolutely screwed. And for someone to comment is not necessarily disinformation. I don't know what the comments were, but anyone saying, hey, keep telling your story, that doesn't seem to me like disinformation.
There was a lot of the positive comments got taken down, and that was really disappointing. And I did ask our web management about that, and I was told, quote, YouTube, Google, and Facebook are behemoths that can do whatever they want with the platforms they own. So if that's the case, I think people need to kind of understand that when you're putting your personal information and you're posting your personal pictures and a lot of your personal stuff on these platforms, you got to keep in mind that they can do whatever they want with that information, essentially. Mm-hmm. But also we're asking for
curiosity. Let me ask, how did you discover that the comments were being taken off?
I had people tell me once the story came out, they were trying to comment. And I got phone calls and texts, literally dozens started coming in as soon as the story came out. Craig, we're trying to post favorable comments and they're getting taken down. They're getting deleted. And I literally probably had four dozen people that I talked to that were either through Facebook or YouTube that tried to do something constructive, not destructive, constructive. It got eliminated, taken down, censored. There's something wrong with that.
Well, I guess you could call me a free speech absolutist. I think more speech is always better. And really, free speech is the cornerstone of this democracy, right? It's at the root of every freedom that we cherish, the ability to speak and also the ability not to be compelled to say things that other people want you to say. But in this digital age, it seems to me that conversations about our wealth, our rights, and our future aren't as vociferous. They're being overshadowed in mainstream narratives. And I know that a lot of people feel voiceless in conversations crucial to our financial independence and security. So let me introduce you to Wealth Protection Research. They are armed with a mission that's never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They're defenders of free speech. They're committed to giving a voice to people who've been silenced. Wealth Protection Research tirelessly seeks out financial experts. Now, these are the voices that challenge prevailing narratives, especially as we head toward this really wacky time of the 2024 election. Wealth Protection Research has created this very important thing that you can get for free, and I'm going to tell you how. It's the 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report. It's a free report highlighting the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into the 2024 election. It contains ideas that the mainstream media isn't going to touch, and you can get it completely free by texting the word IDEAS, I-D-E-A-S, to 76626. If you, like I, believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, do this now. Text IDEAS to 76626. Get your free copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told. Hear more ideas that the establishment doesn't think you can handle, but you can, and take control of our financial destinies. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. I got a question for you. What would you say to the people who say, look, it's proven that the vaccines helped more than they hurt? In other words, we prevented millions of deaths by having this vaccine, by mandating it in some cases. So if, you know, if a few people got hurt, the benefit far outweighed the, you know, the deficit. What would you say?
I would say, even if you believe that the net benefit was greater, you still cannot just push aside an entire group of people, which happens to be a large group of people. See, people want to say it's only a small percentage of the population that had adverse reactions. It may be a small percentage, but that small percentage still reflects a very large number of people. A large number of people that you can't just turn your back on, people that are suffering. So even if you think the vaccines had tremendous benefit, which they vaccines throughout time have had benefit, but you cannot just disregard the fact that so many people are suffering. The fact that my doctor can no longer even fit anybody else in is an indicator that there's a lot of people out there. I've met a ton of them. I'm meeting even more. And so,
yeah, those groups are growing, and they're growing organically on, you know, through Facebook pages and, you know, other ways that groups are identifying one another online. And I've been introduced to them. That's how I got to know your story, is through one of those groups. And so those groups are growing. And I think, I think it's got to be disheartening for people to say, you know, all the positives outweighed your negative. That's sort of like saying, you know, we can all draw our analogies there, Craig, but that's got to be disheartening. Go ahead.
No, just
go ahead.
I feel like you asked me what was the worst part of this, and even though the physical part has been devastating, like, my faith journey tells me that God isn't going to give me more than I can handle. And so I feel like I've handled this, and I feel like because I have, it's put me in a position to help others. And that's what I want to do now. And I will go out there and tell my story everywhere if I have to get recognition on this, because it starts with recognition, and then it starts with people taking action. And I, you know, the pandemic, wow, what an awful thing. And if you look at it in its totality, it was devastating in so many ways. I mean, the loss of lives, the emotional toll, the vaccine part of it, the social isolation, all of the stuff that happened, more than likely is probably going to be the worst period of time for many of us in our lifetime, barring another pandemic, hopefully not. But that period of time and all the resulting things that have come out of it, it's horrible. And a lot of people are angry. A lot of people are displaced, and I see a lot of people taking that out on each other, especially in social media. And my plea to everyone is, like, let's just take a step back and realize that we're all hurting from this pandemic in some way. And the way we're going to get out of it is to support each other. Like, so much is put on the negativity in this country and the bad stuff that happens. And there's still crime and racism and hate and poverty and all that. But my 30 years as a journalist, I've traveled a lot of different places, and that has given me the gift to know that there are still a lot more good people than bad in this country. And so I have faith that collectively as a people, we can still come together and support each other. And kindness is contagious. You know, people can ask, well, what can I do? Well, first of all, let's not put people down through social media and destroy them electronically, because that's just cowardly. Secondly, kindness being contagious can be something as simple as take 5 seconds to hold the door for somebody. Or on the roads, how many times do I see on the roads people lose their mind when they get cut off? And you know what? 99% of the time.
And I think
that person is just lost. They're not intentionally cutting you off. So let's just all take a second take a step back and give each other some grace.
Yeah. There's a lot to be said. I end every podcast, and I'll do it again as we close here, Craig. I say two things: be brave and do good. And you've been brave by coming forward to tell your story, not only to your employer on the record, but to us. And we've heard a number of them. And when people have been told that the vaccine, the problem was the unvaccinated people, that they were the problem and that the vaccines would stop the spread, and they didn't. You could be vaccinated and still get COVID. You could be vaccinated and still pass COVID along. So all of the things that we were told by the quote unquote experts and the people in charge were not necessarily all true. And yet they said them with such adamance and such, in such a declarative way that this was the only way. So I think it is brave to come forward and say, you know what, didn't work for me. And I've got proof. And we got to be able to speak back and speak up against some of these people who are so definitive in what they say, and be able to question it. If not, we don't have a First Amendment. And the second thing I say is do good. And that's what you've done as well by telling your story and sharing that idea of, just a little grace every day, one little good deed every day, whatever it is, smiling at someone, holding a door, whatever. So be brave and do good, as Craig Norcus has done. Craig, we thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome. Can I leave you with a little a musical inspiration? So,
sure.
Music inspires everybody, right? And so in the honor of the late, great Tom Petty, I took one of his songs. I'm just going to read a couple of the lyrics. And this is an honor to everybody that's suffering still, for everybody that hasn't been recognized, for everybody that's still going through the pain of what they're going through. We're going to stand up, and you can stand us up at the gates of hell, but we won't back down. We'll stand our ground. We won't be turned around, and we'll keep this world from dragging us down. Going to stand our ground, and we won't back down. Thank you, Mr. Petty. And we're going to live by that.
I love Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. I love Tom Petty. And that's a great message on which to end.
Yeah.
Craig, I wish you the very, very best as you continue to recover and get back to work. And we will stay in touch with you.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll be happy to talk anytime.